You're listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the discussion of strategic best practices related to associational missions. Here's your host, Rick Curtis.
All right, guys. Hey, this is a special day here on the podcast. Welcome. We're glad you're listening with us today. My guest today is Glenn Davis. Glenn is the Associational Mission Strategist for Heart of Kansas Southern Baptist Association. Glenn, my friend, it's always good to have you sitting across the desk from me.
Man, it's great to be here. I'm excited about this, Rick. I appreciate your podcast, appreciate all the things I learned from them, and thrilled to get to be a part of one.
Man, that's good. Like I said, I'd love to have you here, and I've been wanting to do this with you for some time, so I'm very excited about today. By the way, for those of you that are listening, one thing Glenn does really well is one-day preaching workshops in his association. So that's what we're talking about today. But before we get to that, Glenn, I want to ask you to briefly share about your family and share about your ministry history and how that brought you to being the AMS of Heart of Kansas.
Sure. Yep. Love to do that. I've been married to Rhonda for almost 45 years. We have two adult sons and three grandkids, and we've been very blessed. I've been involved in ministry for almost all of that time that Ron and I've been married. Pastored a church in Missouri for just almost 5 years. Went to First Southern Baptist Church in Salina, Kansas, where I pastored for 25. Thought I'd be there till I died, and the Lord led me to this role as an associational leader. That's not a role that I ever anticipated having, but it is a role that I have learned to love and value. I love working with pastors and love my opportunity to serve. Our association is full of a number of really great guys, and I'm very privileged to get to serve with them.
Well, it's neat to hear you say that, because associational missions may not have been in your focus in the early ministry days, but I'm sure glad it was, because even back when I was a DOM, I looked up to you, and when we first met, and you're, after all these years, you're still going strong. So I admire that deeply. Hey guys, so we're talking about one-day preaching workshops. And as I said at the intro, Heart of Kansas does this really, really well. So for those that are listening, Glenn, and maybe they're even tuning in for the first time, or others have maybe never even heard that term, one-day preaching workshop, give us the big overview. What is that?
Well, it is one day. So we do it one day from 8:30 to 2:30. We do it once a year. It is a preaching workshop, so it's focused on preaching. That doesn't change year to year. And it is a workshop. It's not sit and listen to us as we present instruction times. It's a workshop where guys gather in small groups and spend most of their day around the table working with seven or eight other pastors to try to help them improve their preaching. So it is a one-day preaching workshop.
I love that. So many of our AMSs are searching for any kind of handhold, something to add value to their pastors. And it's unique from my chair to see all the different ways that value manifests itself in all of our associations. We are so diverse and amazing. And if there was a way to bottle it all up, boy, we'd really have a great package of healthy stuff. If the best of the best in all of our associations could somehow come together and put together a knockout package for our pastors. And
sure,
this is just one of those things that I'm learning about and excited about, and hearing how that adds value. So, hey, let me ask you, where did the idea of a one-day preaching workshop come from?
In Wichita, a group called Simeon Trust comes and does a preaching workshop every year. That event falls in October. It's a three-day event. It starts on a Wednesday and ends on a Friday. I went to that a number of years ago, really valued it. It's held at an E-Free church in Wichita, and began to encourage, and already had, a number of Southern Baptist pastors in our association who are attending. We found that to be very helpful, and so we wanted more and more of our guys to come. The reality was many of them wouldn't come because it was 3 days. Some of them wouldn't come because they didn't feel like they could give up that much time. Some wouldn't come, frankly, because it's a little intimidating when you go to a place where you don't know these guys and they're going to evaluate you based on your ability with a text. So we have built trust, we feel like, in our association among the pastors. We decided if we had a one-day workshop, maybe we could have more of our guys come. And it has been one of the most well-attended events in our association.
That's great. when I'm looking at the whole of associational work across the nation, I see guys that are just kind of in tune with their pastors, guys that understand what their pastors are dealing with on a day-to-day basis, and then they implement based on that. A lot of guys will just programmatically take something off a shelf and try to implement it in the lives of their pastors, and just, you know as well as I do, this just never works really well. But in your case, then this is working really well. So my question to you would be, why does a one-day workshop fit well in the heart of Kansas in your setting, where it may or may not in another setting? What is there something that you sensed or felt that why this would fit so well within your association?
Well, we tried to address the reasons that some of our pastors did not attend the three-day workshop.
Got it.
It's shorter, so if guys are bivocational, they can still come for one day. And we do have a number of men who come who perhaps are not even full-time pastors, or they're not pastors at all, but they do fill pulpits from time to time. And they come and they participate and they enjoy that. It also is a place where, again, trust has been built and you feel more comfortable and you're not as anxious about being in a group, and you don't realize that the guy across the table has a PhD in preaching and you've never had a class in preaching. And so
that would be intimidating.
It really can be. But the goal is not, how do we help you be like him? The goal is, how do we help you take one step? Whether you're the PhD, whether you preach five sermons or 500 or thousands, how do we help you take one step to move forward, to do a better job as a pastor? And frankly, Rick, one of the things that I realized as a pastor for all those years, 25 years in the same church, you can't repeat your sermons because they've already heard them all. So every week, it felt like I'm spending half of my life either preaching or preparing to preach. This is a big part of what pastors do. So if I can help guys get better at this, if I can give them some help to start a sermon series to carry them on for 6 weeks, our guys just found real value in it.
That's great. And so, yeah, so that kind of leads naturally into what my next question would be, is that I'm talking the nitty gritty here. The guys gather together. It's a one-day preaching workshop. You already said that it's not a lecture. It's not an informative piece. It's a workshop. These guys are working together. I also like that you said it's built upon the trust that you've built within your association, because pastors need to trust one another to be vulnerable with each other. And so I love that. I love every aspect of that. But take us, the listeners, take us through, what does that look like? I mean, from the time it starts to the time it ends, what kind of, you doing trust falls? What are you doing? No. I mean, what are the actual elements of the one-day preaching workshop, and how's that look?
So it's one day, 8:30 to 2:30, and we start with a welcome. We give away a book. Each year I have a couple of guys who help me with the planning who are great. So this is not something that's dependent on a big associational staff to do. I have a part-time secretary, and that's it. That's all I have. And she doesn't do much work on this.
Okay.
So I have a couple of pastors who come in and help me. They help me pick out a book. With the partnership of our state convention in Kansas and Nebraska, last year we were able to give away, it cost us $25 for a commentary. It's really a $35, I think, commentary. So you're giving guys something that can help them. One of the books that we've given away for years is called Expositional Preaching. It's one of the Nine Marks books by David Helm. So we try to give away a book. Start the day with giving away a book, welcoming guys, helping guys feel like they're in a safe place. Then most of the day is spent in a work group, a small group. There'll be 7-8 guys. They'll have a small group leader, and they'll spend most of their day around a table. Before the workshop, for example, last year we did the book of Titus. Actually, in the spring of this year, we did the book of Titus. And each man is assigned a text from the book of Titus. He's given a questionnaire. He's got 6 questions or so that he needs to answer before he comes to the workshop. He needs to write those answers out. He needs to make a copy of that for everybody in his group. And it has to all be on one page. So there are many reasons for this. One of the reasons is because if you write it out before you come, you've thought about it.
Right.
The second thing that we're doing is on one page, you're going to go home with a page from every guy in your group.
Oh, nice.
On different texts. So when you go home, you have a handout that's going to help you start a sermon on each of the different texts in the book of Titus. So now I've got a great starter for a sermon series on Titus.
That's great.
In those small groups, each man is going to have a 20-minute segment when his text is going to be talked about. We're going to start with a couple of minutes where somebody prays for you and reads the text. Then you have 5 minutes to present your answers to these questions. And then we'll take the balance of the time to kind of talk about, respond to, get feedback on what the work that you've done. And again, the point here, it is not to make everyone as good a preacher as the best guy in the room. The point here is to help you get a little bit better.
Yeah.
And the whole workshop is built around this rectangle that comes out of Helm's book on expositional preaching. Years ago, it was called Clowney's Rectangle, and it starts with the text. And the first thing we want people to do is do their exegetical work. So from the text, we want to know, what does this say to the original here? What was authorial intent? That's the first place we're going.
That's good.
So the left side of this rectangle is what did it mean to them then? Then we want to say, how does this point us to Jesus? Or how does this anticipate the gospel? How does this anticipate Jesus? And the top of the rectangle is taking us in that direction. Then we go down the right side, and this is our hermeneutical work. What does it mean to us now? Mm. So we don't start with the text and make application. Simeon Trust says the long way home is the safe way home.
Yeah.
And so that's the outline we're trying to follow. Those six questions that you're assigned are going to help you to walk around that rectangle. So when you give me your answers in the workshop, when we're sitting around the table, I take it home and I've got a starter for all of that. Authorial intent, anticipating the gospel, what does it mean to us now? And that gives me a place to start.
That's great.
So most of the day is spent in that small group, going around the table and having each guy have a chance to share and other people give him feedback. And then you're just learning together about this. We do take a couple of times during the day to do some kind of 20-minute instruction. So that 20-minute instruction might be on the hermeneutical side. Mostly it's on the exegetical side or anticipating the gospel. So that's a short description of what we're trying
to do. No, I absolutely love that. I think there would be many pastors that go into that situation, find the camaraderie and brotherhood of their fellow pastors in the room, and walk out with a pattern, basically, or a system by which they never considered to develop their sermon. And many of us have our established patterns that we've done well with, but it just seems to me that there would be guys that would greatly benefit that, because maybe they just fly by the seat of their pants on Sunday morning sometimes. And this gives them not only the wisdom of the crowd, but a pattern by which they can develop sermons going forward. I like that.
And so for me, when I came into this role, I'd been pastoring for 30 years, and I felt like I knew how to do ministry a little bit. But now I'm in this role where I have to teach other guys how to do it.
Right.
So I don't just have to know, I have to teach others.
Yeah.
And if you ask me, Glenn, how do you prepare a sermon? All I knew to say was take the text, wrestle it to the ground, pray, and let God work. That's all I knew.
Yeah.
Now I have a system, and I can say, here is, just like you saw, here's a way, here's a system that you can follow to get to that place.
I love that. And early on in this podcast, we talked about how you've created an environment that builds trust, and so it's a safe place to do that. And the other thing that you said that strikes me, because you hear it in other industries as well, you'll hear a fitness guy say, hey, look, I'm not calling you to go from 210 pounds today to 180 tomorrow. A term they use a lot is 1% better, right? So that way the overweight guy, the semi-in shape guy, and the guy that's really in shape can all train together in the same room because they're just aiming at 1% better.
Right.
And so you see that applied in physical fitness. You see that implied in scholastic environments, you know, the 1% smarter. And here you're saying, hey, this is a safe environment. Your brothers in arms are coming together, and we're not trying to make you like anybody. We're not trying to extol one pastor in our association and say, that guy really, listen to this guy preach. You got to be like him. You're just saying, bring your presentation up a notch. Bring
right.
it up 1%. I love that. I don't know that you said 1%, but I threw that into there. But I love the fact that there, that again, you mentioned building trust, that just takes the pressure off the guy that comes in and would otherwise be intimidated. So that's such a blessing. Hey, how do we know? I mean, at the end of the day, you've got your pastors going through this, and you and I go way back, and we've talked about building leaders many, many times over the years, all the way back to Hugh Townsend and core competency days and all of that. And the question we always used to, or the thing we always used to talk about, is your actions are worthless if you don't measure. Right? I mean, if you don't measure the results of what you're doing, then you're doing yourself a disservice. So let me ask you this. How do you know if you're adding value to your pastors and churches coming out of this?
So I think the easiest way to measure is we can't do that at our this event at our association office anymore. We don't have enough room. So we've had to move out the last 2 or 3 years, meet in one of our churches because so many guys are coming. We can't fit in our building. So it's not hundreds, but it is 50 guys will be there. This last year, we opened it up to other associations outside and even non-SBC guys to come. And so we're having good response.
So related to that, let me ask you, what's some of the, not that it's all about positive affirmation, that's not what I'm getting at, but we do gauge, too, by the affirmation of the guys that we instruct or we teach or we facilitate for. What are some of the comments you get out of your pastors coming out of this conference? What have they said to you?
So they really find value in it, and I think churches find value in it. It is, by God's design, preaching is a key event in the life of a church.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can do better in our preaching, if we can show greater wisdom in our preaching, we can show greater depth in our preaching, then the people who are sitting in the congregation, our listeners week to week, are going to believe that we have wisdom to help them make decisions. Our pastors are feeling like they're better equipped to do that. Mm. So I love this quote. This quote says, I think it's an Oliver Wendell Holmes quote. If not, you can cut that part out.
All right. Deal.
It says, I wouldn't give a fig for simplicity on this side of complexity, but I'd give my right arm for simplicity on the other side of complexity.
Hmm.
So if we can take the complex things of the Word of God and help them to be simple, when we stand in our pulpits and we preach simplistic sermons, people with complex problems don't ask us for answers. But we preach sermons that are simple on the other side of complexity, where we've been able to really do our work in the study so that we understand what God is saying, then we're able to help people realize God has help for you. God's word is helpful. Now they build trust in us as leaders, and they follow us as we both define current reality and cast a vision for God's preferred future for them as a church.
Yeah.
So preaching is just key. Our pastors find this workshop to be very helpful in them being more effective as preachers, developing as preachers so that they can better pastor and lead their churches.
That's phenomenal. Hey, Glenn, if a guy is listening today and he's thinking, man, that might just be what we need in our association, would you be willing to share your contact information so they could reach out to you and kind of bounce some ideas off of you?
Absolutely. Be glad to do that. My email is glenn@hoksba.org, stands for Heart of Kansas Southern Baptist Association.org, or you can give me a call, 316-209-9000. 9310.
All right.
I'd also encourage you to take a look at the Expositional Preaching book by David Helm, a 9 marks book. It's a little book. It's a book that's small enough that your pastors will read it. It's got a lot of diagrams in it to help them understand these principles. It's a place where we go to get the instruction pieces that we use in our workshop. Take a look at that book. If that looks like something that you'd be interested in doing, we'd be glad to talk through just kind of the logistics of how we pull it off. Any pastor, any associational leader who's done this for very long will be able to do this in an effective way as you build trust with your folks.
That's phenomenal. I know the listeners couldn't see the big smile on my face when he said that, because he said, I quote, "It's a small book, easy to read with lots of pictures in it." I immediately thought, wow, that's my kind of book right there.
Yes.
Hey, well, as you know, Glenn, I always ask a final question on the podcast. And, you know, because great leaders are always reading. So why don't you share with the audience what you're currently reading and why?
So one of the books I'm working my way through is not a small book with a lot of pictures. It's called Confronting Christianity: 12 Hard Questions for the World's Largest Religion by Rebecca McLaughlin. Hmm. It's a very helpful book. It addresses the kinds of questions that our pastors are being asked. Maybe in the associational office, we're a little protected from this, but our pastors, particularly if they're working with next-gen age folks, they want to know. They want answers to the kinds of questions that McLaughlin addresses. Here are some of the chapter titles. Doesn't religion cause violence? Can you take the Bible literally? Hasn't science disproved Christianity? Here's one that is on the top of the list for us today. Isn't Christianity homophobic? And McLaughlin addresses these in an apologetic way, an academic way. She's brilliant. A heartwarming way, a sensitive way. I think it's a really valuable book. And so I'm most of the way through that book. I found it to be very helpful. And then a book that is really been also just encouraging for me in the last week. I just read this book a few days ago. It's not a long book, by Richard Blackaby and Rick Fisher, called Developing a Powerful Praying Church. The first section of that book reminds me of E.M. Bounds' books on prayer, or A.W. Tozer, stuff that I just hadn't read for a long time, but it was good for my heart to be reminded again of me making prayer more central in my ministry. So two books that are impacting me today.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that. Hey, guys, we're in Anaheim a day before the convention here recording the podcast. We've got a little bit of a hiss on the podcast today. I don't know where that's coming from. It must be in the room here today. So we apologize for that. But Glenn, thanks for coming in. Again, my guest today, Glenn Davis, Associational Mission Strategist of Heart of Kansas Southern Baptist Association. Really appreciate you coming in, sitting down with me. I've been wanting to do this, like I said. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you. It's my joy.
God bless.
You have been listening to the AMS Excellence Podcast. For more information or to contact the North American Mission Board's Associational Relations Team, send an email to associations@namb.net.